Let's turn in your Bibles, the book of John, chapter number 3.
Yes.
And
they're real good.
I appreciate the Lord, don't you?
Amen.
Thank God I'm saved.
Yep.
John, chapter number 3. Be obedient. I'll give you what the Lord's given me. And I'm going to start reading there at the end of chapter 2, about verse 23. We'll get down into chapter 3. And this is what the Bible says. It says, now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did.
Right.
But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men.
Yeah.
And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Chapter number 3 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Skip down to verse number 16. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Let's pray this evening. Lord, Heavenly Father, sure do thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Lord, I appreciate, Lord, the opportunity to stand tonight. And God, you know our heart and our minds, and Lord, what you've put in. And Lord, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to get it across. Lord, in a way that would be pleasing to you. Lord, I pray you take the word of God and use it as you see fit. Lord, I ask you tonight, Lord, for good liberty and good unction to preach. I pray you take the word and send it forth. Lord, those amongst us that are not saved, Lord, I beg that you draw them to yourself. Lord, those that need help, Lord, I pray you'd give it to them tonight. Lord, I love you and I thank you for all that you've done for us. In your most precious name we pray. Amen and amen. I appreciate your good attention. You can be seated tonight. And I know and I understand when we talk about the book of John, chapter number 3. But Josh, this is a very familiar verse of Scripture. And Kevin alluded to it a little bit this morning, talking about the message of the gospel and how we've become so callous to it. We've heard it so much. I'm afraid that a lot of times, boy, it just goes in one ear and out
You're
the other.
Right, brother, sure.
But friend, surely tonight, I don't want that to be the case in my heart, and I hope you feel the same way. Now, I think to understand what's being said here, a lot of times we look and we see John chapter 3, we can skip down to verse number 16, and we just see what the Lord said there, and boy, what a message that is.
Right.
No doubt, Brother Kevin, there's probably no verse of Scripture has been preached more in John chapter number 16.
Right.
I mean, from the time it was written till now, boy, I tell you, we'd be unable to know how many times this verse has been preached on. But I will tell you this, as I begin to look at this Scripture, and boy, just begin to mull on these things, I thought even going back before this to understand what's happening, boy, I tell you, you got to get a context of what the situation is, right? And what we find in Scripture is this, is in John chapter number 2, we find that the Lord, he had went up to Jerusalem, and no doubt they were all gathered there together, and you find in that Scripture that that's when they were making merchandise in the Lord's house, right? They were selling doves and pigeons and all that, and the Lord come in, and he made the whip there, and he drove those religious Pharisees out of the temple, right? And he got aggravated at them and said, get out of here. You've made a mockery of the house of God. And then we find there where we started reading in verse number 23, it said, now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, that many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did.
Right.
So that Scripture tells us that there was many people in this day that when the Lord came and they saw these mighty things he done, they saw him raise the dead, they saw him heal the blind. They saw him make the lame to walk and all these things. Then when they seen it, they said, all right, now we believe that's right. Who he is, right? Yeah, but it goes on and it said, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. Right. And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Ain't that something? Well, I tell you, I thank God that the Lord knows what is in man. Now, that scares me at times, Brother Kevin. I'm glad he knows what's in there. Now, you can fool me, you can fool Brother Kevin, you can fool everybody else. You can't fool God. He knows what's in there. And so the Bible goes on. Now we find in chapter number 3, we've got this religious Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus. So he waits. He comes by night and he comes to the Lord. And instead of him coming out in this open setting when the Lord was there at the end of chapter number 2, whenever Brother Savage, everybody else was believing and jumping in on this thing, Nicodemus didn't get in on that, right? But he comes later and he comes to the Lord in a private time, in a private setting. And then he says, Lord, how can these things be? He said, he asked him there, he said, I know that you're special. I know that you're a master. I know you're sin of God, because if you were not sin of God, then you couldn't have done these things, which you done, right? And so the Lord answers him. And in verse number 3, he said, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Says verse number 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter into the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. And so Nicodemus had seen what the Lord could do with his eyes, right? He had seen the mighty works in which God done. But when he comes and he sits down in a personal setting with the Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you what Jesus tells him. He said, oh, Nicodemus, he said, it's got to get a little bit deeper than right here. He said, it's got to get a little bit deeper than just what you see. It's got to get deeper than what's on the outside. But you've got to have a new birth on the inside. It even goes past this flesh. And so that's what he said. Of course, we know in this church, he wasn't talking about water baptism or nothing like that. He's talking about a fleshly birth and a spiritual birth. And the Lord, what he does is he contrasts those two things. He shows us how that they are separate. Yep. Now again, I want to remind you that he is dealing with a religious man right here. He's dealing with somebody that knows the law. He's got all the formalities right. He looks the part. He acts the part. He's got the right titles and he's got the right friends. And he's got all of that right. But boy, when he sits down with the Lord, see the Lord, and again we read at the end of chapter 2, he knows what was in man. And he knew that Nicodemus didn't have the right thing on the inside. And he said, so listen, it's more than what you're seeing. It has to get in here. And we say that a lot, Brother Kevin, it's got to be more than up here. Boy, it's got to make its way down into there. Boy, I thank God for the day it made its way in there, don't you? Boy, I was raised in this church, and I say praise the Lord for it. Heard all kinds of good preaching, made a false profession, done all those things. But boy, it was good when it got real. It got more than just being at Amazing Grace. And boy, I say praise the Lord for that. But I'm telling you, when I really got born again by the grace of God, I tell you what, friend, I'm glad that there's something real to this thing. Now, Jesus goes on. He begins to lay this thing out before this religious man. And notice what he said in verse 16. Said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I tell you what, the thought the Lord gave me tonight to preach on is the only one. Notice what he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Right. Now I tell you this about things, when the Bible says only, I believe, just like when it says all, I believe it means all. When he said his only begotten Son, Brother Savage, I believe what he said, what he meant. That was his only one. Now, Brother Gavin, if you come to my house and you ask to borrow something or you ask if you can have something, I tell you this, I'm much more likely to give you something if I've got an extra one, right? If you come and I've got plenty of this, or I've got plenty of food, I got plenty of shoes, I got plenty of clothes, and you say, man, I need some shoes and I need some clothes, but Jordan, I'm going to give you whatever you need. But now, if I only had one set, I'd be much more likely. I'd say, now, Gavin, I'd give you what I got, but if I give you mine, then I'll be totally without.
That's right.
But ain't it something that when the Lord looked down, when God the Father looked down on earth, and he said, listen, I ain't got no extra ones. I ain't got an extra son. I don't have another one on the side. I don't have another one to keep for myself. But the Bible says that he loved us so much that he gave us his only one. But Bobby, the only one that he had. And he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll send him for you.
Yeah.
I thought about this in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 1, verse number 5.
Oh, yeah.
The Bible tells this, said, I'm in the wrong book. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5 says, for unto which of the angels saith he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee.
Yeah.
And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. So, Brother Gavin, again, it's telling us there in the book of Hebrews, there was no other one. He said at no time did he look at his angel and say, hey, you're going to be my son. Or he spoke of one and said, you'll be my son, you'll be begotten. No, friend, he was the only one from time, eternity past. The Father and the Son and the Spirit, they've always been one.
Right.
They've always been together. That was his only begotten son.
Yep.
And the Lord sent him down here for us.
Hey.
Now listen, Brother Kevin preached on this morning, and I don't mean to re-preach a word of what he said, but I'm here to tell you tonight, friend, I love Christmas. I love what it represents. I love the birth of Christ. But listen, it was not about a baby in a manger.
Right.
I mean, that's what we put all the emphasis on, and I get that, but that's really not what it was about. He didn't come down here just to hang out. He didn't come down here to heal people. I understood he'd done that while he was here to show the Jews who he was and prove to them, but that's really not why he was here. He didn't come here to do that. He didn't come here to make a big show. He didn't come here to get a bunch of followers. He didn't come here to do any of those things. He came down for one reason. The day that the baby was born in the manger was the day that he came to be crucified for me and you. The Bible says that he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was always the plan. It was always the intentions. When the angel came to Mary and said, thou shalt be conceived of the Holy Ghost, there was a reason that he done that. It wasn't so that this could happen or so that that could happen. It wasn't so that we could celebrate Christmas. It was so he could be crucified. It was the Father sending his only begotten Son, the only one in which he had for me and you. Well, I say praise the Lord for that, don't you? I'm sure glad the Lord loved me. The Bible said he loved us when, hey, listen, we was unlovable. Said there's a lot of folks might die for good folks, but he died, he came in the book of Romans, said when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, for the ungodly. And boy, I say praise the Lord for that. So there's a reason he came. I'm glad for what the Lord gave up so that we could have.
Yeah.
There are lots of things. He gave his life so that we could have life.
Amen.
He gave up his fellowship with God.
Go ahead.
I think a lot we pass that over too much. Brother Savage, there was a time on the cross when they were separated.
Yeah.
The Father turned his back on the Son.
Yeah.
Now we just read over that, but look here, for all of eternity, they had been together.
Yes.
They had always been in fellowship. But here's the thing. Christ knew that he had to do that so that me and you could fellowship
That's
with him.
Right,
the reason you can fellowship with God now is because his Son broke fellowship for a short time on the cross. Don't you thank the Lord for that? I tell you what, we ought to have to deal and take on the pain that Christ took on. But he done it for us. He left a very comfortable heaven. He was just fine where he was at, sitting by his Father, angels roaming around the throne saying how everything was fine where he was. But boy, ain't you glad that he looked down at us and said, no, they need some help. They need my Son to come and die for them. So I'll send him the only one I got. And he came and he died for sinners like me and you. And boy, I say praise the Lord for it. What he gave up so that we could have. Left his home so that we could have a home. Left his comforts so we could be comforted.
Yes.
Now and for eternity. Now listen, I don't know what this life holds, but I know what eternity holds.
Hey.
And I know that I'm not going to hell because I've been born again.
Amen.
What a blessing. Hey, Josh, that's a great comfort to me. I don't know what's going to happen on my way home. I might die in a car wreck. I might wake up with cancer tomorrow. I have no idea. But I know for sure I'm not going to hell. And that's a lot of comfort. You know why I've got that comfort? Because he left his comfort and came down here for us so that we could be saved. Boy, I say praise the Lord for that. Now, again, listen. Only one. He only had one. And I thought about this scripture in John chapter 3, verse number 16. Boy, the magnitude and the weight of the love of God. And it's all wrapped up. I mean, you could just, if this is the only verse we had, I mean, we could just preach this all the time, Brother Savage. It'd be enough. We could walk into Africa and just go preach to the whole country, the whole continent, John 3, 16. And it'll get the job done. And as I begin to think about that, I tell you this, I read one time, a writer said this, and I'm going to add a little bit to what he said. But I thought about this. When you look at this scripture and you see what the Lord said right here, I thought, you know what? You know, there's a lot of folks today that they question God. And they'll say, well, Brother Gavin, I don't know why God would allow this. And you know what they're saying when they say that? They're questioning the love of God is what they're doing.
Right.
I don't know why babies die. I don't know why he didn't heal this one. I don't know why he's let me go through this. I don't know why, you know, this kid's got cancer and this one's fine and all these things. You know what they're doing? They're questioning God is what they're doing.
Sure.
And I tell you what, I believe with everything in me, I believe right now if somehow we could reach up into the sky and just roll the curtain back, I believe if we could look up there into that third heaven, if we could see into the throne room of God, God the Father sitting on his throne high and lifted up. I tell you, those angels roaming around. If we could open that up and we could holler in there for just a minute and we could say, hey, God, and him say, yes, what do you need and what do you want me to do? What kind of answer do you need? And Brother Nathaniel, if we hollered up here and we said, God, do you love us? Do you love the world? Do you love me? Do you love this place? Do you really love us? You know what I believe he'd say? I believe he'd quote to us John 3:16. I believe he'd say, for I so loved the world that I gave my only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you want to know that answer, there it is. If you want to know if the Lord loves us, it's in John chapter 3, verse 16. And I say, praise the Lord for it. I'm glad he gave up the only one that he had. His one and only begotten Son that he gave him so that we could be saved. Well, that's a blessing, ain't it? He gave us a lot. Only one he had. Only one. And he gave him for me and you. Boy, you'd think that it'd be so easy. You'd think if you went and you looked at that and you said, wow. I mean, man, the Lord, he really loves us, gave us eternal life. He's done this great and mighty work for the people of God. Lord, Brother Kevin, you'd think that everybody would just be lit a fire.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd think it would be, I mean, you just look at that on paper.
Right.
It's, man, those folks, if you didn't know nothing about this thing, and you seen that, you'd think, man, I bet them people really love the Lord. I bet they really live for him. I mean, I bet he just consumes them. I bet that's all they think about. I bet they do everything in their power just to do one little thing for him. That's what you'd think. See, I know it ain't that way. Not in you and not in me either. And I tell you what, I, as I looked at this scripture, I thought, Lord, now listen. God the Father gave his only Son. His Son gave his only life. And Brother Kevin, that's what we've got. The Bible talks about that, right? That we are supposed to be what? A living sacrifice unto him, right? And so I thought, you know, as far as that goes, now listen, we've only got one life. You've only got one life to live. That's it. There is no do-overs in this thing. Reincarnation is not real.
Right.
You will not come back. You don't, when you have some crazy thought and you think, what do they call that? Deja vu. And some people will say, oh, that must have been a past life. Hogwash, your brain's depleted of oxygen. That's what that is.
Brother.
You had a little lapse right there and you had some crazy thought and you think, no, that's not real. That's not Bible. That's superstitious nonsense.
Right.
You don't get no more chances.
Right.
But Gavin, it's the only life you get.
Right.
That's it. You don't know how long it's going to be. You don't know what it's going to be like.
Go ahead.
But all you know is you only get one.
Yep.
That's it. But Joe, we might have multiple chances in this life. You only get one life. Just one. Just one. Now, listen, there's many days in life. There's many weeks, many years, many opportunities, but only one life. It's all you get. It's just one. And what I want to preach to you tonight is this, is listen. This thing gets more, and I understand, and I think there's days that we give to the Lord, right? We're here on Sunday. Praise the Lord for it.
Yes.
It's a day in the Baptist. I mean, that's kind of, we set this aside. We say, all right, Lord, this is the day that we are going to give to you. We're going to go to your house. We're going to worship you.
Amen.
We're going to sing the songs of Zion. We're going to hear the preached word of God. This is the day that we've set aside for you. And I think there's probably days in which we set aside for him that we give to him. But Jordan, there may be weeks and times where we do pretty good, Brother Jeff, and we live for the Lord and give our lives to him, and we be obedient to him and do what God has to do. There may even be spells where we take strides of years where we do pretty good. But what I figured out is this, it seems like all those things, they always come to an end.
Right.
It's a time. It's a day that we give. It's a week. It's a year that we give to him. What I want to preach to you tonight is this, is it's more than that.
Oh, yeah.
It's more than just doing better for a while.
Hey.
It's more than just, I'm going to get in on this God thing for a while. I'm going to do pretty good. I'm going to set this time aside and for this amount of time or for that part of my life later on, I'm gonna give that to the Lord. I used to think that a lot when I was younger. God, when I get a little older, I'll do more and I'll be more what's happening. But right now, I just kind of want to stay where I'm at. And I think we can all relate to that. But what we need to do is give our lives to the Lord.
Yeah.
Life is more than air. It's more than your heart beating. It's more than an accumulation of days and weeks and years. It is the theme, Brother Kevin, of who you are. It is your person. It is your ability and all that you can be and all that you can do and all that you are. That's who you are. That's your life. That's what makes up your life. And what we ought to do is take all of that and just hand that over to the Lord and say, Lord, here it is. You gave me the only one you had. Father, you gave the Son. You gave your only Son that you have. You gave him for me. Christ, you gave the only life in which you had. And you gave that for me. And so what I want to do, I don't want to give you a day. I don't want to give you a week. I don't want to give you 5 years. But I want to give you my life. And we may look back and say, well, preacher, I've messed a lot of things up. Well, I understand that. But boy, I'm telling you, from this point forward, it could be, Lord, here is my life. Whatever you want, whatever you need out of me, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. I just want to be about you. I want you to be the theme of my life and who I am. Friend, I tell you, I believe we owe the Lord that. And I believe, and I know this is a little rough, and it cuts me too.
That's good preaching.
But Gavin, I'm afraid if we give him anything left or anything less, we'll cut him short.
We'll
cut him short of what he really should get. He should get our life because of what he's given for us. And I say praise the Lord for that, don't you? Now listen, I know I'm preaching way up here, but it's still scripture, and I believe it's true. So I thought about this. He said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You've got one story to tell. This is telling a story about folks. This is it. You only get one shot at this thing. No do-overs. But Brother Nathaniel, after you die, I can't walk up to your casket and make up all this stuff and say, well, it should, maybe next time around it'll be better, right? It's one time, one story, one message to tell. And I tell you this, what grieves me to my heart is to think about this. To think that there was folks that, Brother Josh, one day we're going to walk up to their casket. We're going to say, you know what? I remember when he served the Lord. I remember when he was on fire for God. But Joe, I remember Brother Joe Burns used to go to church and he used to preach. I mean, I'm just saying this because I know Joe won't get mad at me. But then there's a time something happened. And Christ was no longer his life. And he went off in left field. And there was a time. No more. But ain't it a blessing when you can walk up to one and say, well, I don't know what it's like before 1982 or whatever. But I know from that day forward, if there's one thing about Joe Burns that I know, it's that Joe Burns, the theme of his life was the Lord Jesus Christ. He had his life. Ain't that a blessing? And whether that's 5 years or that's 50 or it's 5 days, I don't know how much time we got left. I don't know how long you got left. Don't know how long I got left. But I'd swear I'd like for him to be the theme, wouldn't you? Now here's the sad part. Notice verse 19 and I'll be done. Says this is the condemnation that light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You know why folks ain't saved? Because they don't want to be saved. Look here, we'll sugarcoat that thing.
Right.
We'll try to make that sweet. We try to help folks and woo folks and love on them. Sometimes it's all right for savages to be a little gruff. And the fact of the matter is this, if you ain't saved, it's your own fault. John 3:16 said, he kept up his end of the bargain. He said he'd send his son, the Old Testament, Isaiah prophesied of it, Lord Jesus Christ come, fulfilled every jot and tittle of it, done everything he said he would do. Sent you here, sent you to this place, sent you a preacher, he's done it all.
Right.
So if you sit before me tonight, and you're like old Nicodemus, you got it all out here, you ain't got it in there. Friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, you better get something real. There's a realness to this thing.
That's right.
And you can have it tonight. I've cleared my heart. I'm going to have them come and get us a song if I'll be all right, Brother Kevin. Whoever wants to sing, we'll have an altar call tonight.